Good morning. I am grateful for the opportunity to share this message today. It's awesome to look around at these iron men of God. I know in Estes Park, they're gathering up. We have Men on Fire group up there, and they're gathering up. Last Saturday, I got an email that came in early, about 45 minutes before it kicked off, and it said, yes, it is -2. Yes, it is snowing. And yes, you need to get up and get here, because men, we got to hold the line. And I throw that out there to us today. I throw it out there that we got to hold the line. I look around. I brought my son this morning, Kaysen Hudson McIntyre. He's my little warrior. Got a pastor's heart. Love my son. But I want to challenge all of us. This next generation needs to be in this room too. And let's fill it up. And let's grab them when we can. Because I told him last night, I'm like, bud, alarm's going off at 5:15. We got some work to do tomorrow. And he's like, dad, do I have to go? And I said, ministry's hard. And I said, and men are called to do hard things. So I challenge us today, as we look at it, let's generationally impact lives. I love that I'm in family ministry. I love that God's taken this knucklehead from Louisiana and given me the opportunity to serve, use my unique gifts at this Christian Family Dude Ranch. I love that we hang it out on the sign. I love that we don't surprise people with Christ, but we welcome at the gates and they see him right away. So I do want to kick this thing off with prayer, and so I'll ask Kaysen to come up and pray for us this morning.
Dear Lord, I pray for all these men in this group, and that my dad would have a good prayer and penetrate you, all of you guys' hearts, and that you would take the word of God and use it for this week and your life. And I pray my dad will not have too many in his sermon. Amen.
Amen. Woo! If you ever get a chance to do a men's group, make sure you bring your son, because you can't tell any lies. My son also knows public speaking is probably one of my bigger fears. I love getting in the trenches. I love serving. But when Chief asks you to step up and step in and gives you a chance to share what God's placed on your heart, I'm all in. So we ain't scared, right, Kaysen? So, all right. So we'll dive into this. A couple of things as I roll through. I'll do much better when I get to stories, but there's some things I want to get the words as God had placed them on my heart and let him guide that this morning. But in doing this, I thought Mr. Bonner did a great job opening us up this last month. And talking about an image of God, I think it was fantastic to dive off and give a summary of this book and to reflect it. I'm glad that question was asked earlier too. It was interesting to hear my son's comments and others, and we got to start diving in. I tell you what, don't read Wayne Grudem right before bed. You got to have two cups of coffee to get going in the morning and really soak that in. He does a great job. I still have systematic theology in my bookcase and haven't finished it yet, but it is a solid. So let's dive into this. A couple of things on my story is, see a LSU back there. Anybody from Louisiana here? Go Tigers. Go, as Coach O would say, go Tigers. All right. So, yes, I'm a good old boy from Louisiana. I grew up in just a little old small town, and I remember going to, in kindergarten, they pull you aside, and they go, man, we're going to be testing for the gifted program this week. I'm like, sweet, what's that? And they say, you get to go out to the special trailer out there, not attached to the school. And I'm like, awesome. And I said, let's try it. And so they're asking me all the questions, and they go, all right, what are the four seasons of the year? sporting my mullet, looking all good and everything. Probably got my muscle shirt on in fifth grade going, going to nail this one. Deer, duck, rabbit, and squirrel. So told my dad, all I want to do in life is have a pack of hounds, four-wheel drive pickup truck, and work in the oil fields. And thought that would be my journey. God called me to the great state of Florida, and I got to attend college at Flagler College, the Harvard of the South. Any Flagler College grads out there? Yeah, SAT scores weren't good enough. But in all truth, I somehow squeaked in and got to go there, and I got to pursue youth ministry. I got to pursue a fine arts degree, all to lead me to praying for my dream job out of college is to work at a Christian family dude ranch. Not many of us get to say we got our dream job. So pretty pumped that that I've been there 27 years to get to see the impact. A lot of folks in this room have come out and helped us open up. They come out, and sometimes we have 1 foot of snow, no snow, you just never know, but they get blisters, they run chainsaws, they get after it. We call it Get Worked Week now. Not just work week, but they come out and give their all. They lay it down so that we can clean up after winter and do ministry with excellence. Our facilities look excellent. Everything looks excellent. So I'm grateful for the men in this room, and I hope we get to welcome you guys out to Wind River Ranch. If you know first responders and veterans, get them up here. I was at church this last weekend in Winter Garden and had a young man or was going up to say hello to Randy Allegood, and there was this lady with her kiddos right behind it, and they go, "Hey, Cowboy Don." And it took me a second, and then I recognized they lived in Palatka, Florida. And it was in 2018 that she and her husband and 6 kids at the time jumped in a van from Palatka, Florida, and drove all the way to Wind River Ranch. Arrived at Wind River Ranch, didn't have any tread on their tires. Opened it up and Cheerios rolling out of the back seat of the car. Coke cans everywhere, but they made it. They actually drove all the way out without ever driving on an interstate. They were too scared to get on the interstate. But guess what? That man had a tough look when he arrived. He'd been through more than this country needed to throw at him. And he did things for this nation that were hard. But we got to give back. We got to show him Jesus and pour into his life. I saw that man at church with his family, and he had a glow here in Winter Garden. Somebody and a group of somebodies got together and bought that family a home. They now have 8 kids, and he is glowing and on fire for the Lord. So I applaud this group of men for making an impact in this community for Warriors. So, man, time's going to go fast. All right, let's jump into biblical manhood. I want to start off on this. I want to take it a little bit of direction. There was a crew Bible study that did a fantastic job as I was doing research on this topic. And the Bible study really broke it down into 4 main areas. And it really backed up what Wayne talks about in this book. And to try to summarize that, I'm going to follow those. But before we do, I want to talk to you guys about something that I think we need to establish as we jump into this. What I'm seeing on the front lines of ministry, sometimes I think folks, when they're coming to Christ these days, really think that they're joining a country club. And I want to read a verse. That reinforces this. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. The horse is made ready for battle, for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So as these folks are joining, giving their life to Christ, sometimes they think it's going to be all good. Everything's going to be great. We got this. We got this. We got to wake them up. We got to tell them. We've got to come alongside of them. God doesn't say, make the golf clubs ready. He said, get the horse ready for the day of battle, okay? So I want to encourage us that, guys, we're going into battle. I love Band of Brothers. recently sat down and started watching it with my son. Said, you're 13 years old. Less than 5 years, you could be called to do this. And I love in there when they're interviewing those warriors, those band of brothers from Easy Company. And I loved how they started to share a little bit of that story. What I saw in there just touched me. I remember one of them was getting interviewed, and they said, why in the world would you ever join to be a paratrooper, to be dropped out of a plane behind enemy lines? And I love what he said. He said, because I know the other men who are going to be doing this are going to be the kind of guys I want in my foxhole. I hope you guys look around. You've got great guys to be in your foxhole. And to be biblical men of God, we're going to need to be there for each other. Don't get isolated. That's how the enemy's going to take us out. That's what the ranch is doing, is getting these warriors and their families up there and letting them not get isolated, but giving them community. All right, so as we look at that, that last part, I think it's key. The victory in the battle is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. As I jump right into some of those themes this morning, I've got a man serves and leads his family. A man serves and leads his family. Serve and lead may seem like a contradiction, but they are inseparable according to Scripture. While the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:23 that the husband is the head of the wife, he quickly puts to rest any notion that the leadership allows for selfish male dominance. He completes the sentence with, as Christ also is the head of the church. Wayne Grudem spent a ton of time on this topic in chapter 1. I hope reflecting on it will drive it home for you too. The passage goes on to say that the husbands should love their wives just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for her. This paints a picture of leadership contrary to how the world views it, and with the world's cultural shifts, a man is called to be a servant leader, to take responsibility for his wife and children, to put their needs ahead of his own. He is called to demonstrate selflessness, sacrificial love, the type of love we see in God towards his children. I have the privilege over the years of getting to serve with these men that come out. One of those gentlemen is John Fitzgibbons. Many of you know the Fitzgibbon family, praying for John and his surgery, and just that goes well. But I tell you what, got to see John come out and serve, way underused his talents the first year chopping wood, and then realized that he had a lot of talent, and put him to work helping us get better at the ranch as well. But John got to bring his son Evan, and Evan came out to the ranch right before he went to West Point. They got to pray over him, got to knight him. All the men gathered up and launched this young man. As Evan finished West Point, at Fort Benning was his first assignment, and he was in training there and had a terrible accident. A tree fell and took out Evan and his commanding officer, and John lost a son. Got to see the Fitzgibbons. Today we'll call the first family that's going to be the Gold Star first scholarship recipient from those that gave to Evan's memorial fund, a fund that'll take who Evan is and carry that forth. Evan still impacts my life. But as I dive into this, I got to be over at John's house and Cindy's house, and up on the wall is a wood placard, and carved in there it says this great quote from the Gates of Fire. Let me read this to us. First Lieutenant Evan Fitzgibbons, Rangers lead the way. What was written in his field journal was put on that placard, and this is what it said. A king does not abide within his tent while men bleed and die upon the field. A king does not dine while his men go hungry, nor sleep when they stand at watch upon the wall. A king does not command his men's loyalty through fear, nor purchase it with gold. He earns their love by the sweat of his own back and the pains he endures for their sake. That which comprises the harshest burden, a king lifts first and sets down last. A king does not require service of those he leads, but he provides it to them. He serves them, and not they him. I want to remind us today, as men, we got to get the little things right to get the big things right. If I look at the big picture thing of what I'm seeing on the front lines, we got to get the little things right. These are some of those little things that'll help us get the big things right. If I want to impact my son's life, I got to get the little things right. Let me write this for us for Iron Men of God today. Iron Men of God do not abide within their tent while their men bleed and die upon the field. We can look at one example with King David. The Bible points out that his men were at war, and he stayed back. Guys, we need to be where we're supposed to be. If we're to be in the battle, we need to get in the battle. It's pretty clear that not being in the battle did not go well for David. He'd go back and do that redo. I hope that we get in the battle. Men, if you're going to be in the home, be a part of it. If I see one thing in marriage right now, if I'm sitting down, the guy's going, man, I was home. I was there. Were you? Were you in the home? Were you part of it? Did you get on the floor and wrestle with your son? When you go on vacation, look around. Next time you go, there's a pool around. How many dads are in the pool? When y'all go to the beach, how many dads are building a sandcastle with their kids or grandkids? I love Mr. Ken Weiss. He does a great job of carving out time to invite his each grandkid to go have a lunch or dinner with him. Picks it up, probably goes to the great restaurant of Waffle House and makes memories with those grandkids. Earn the right to be heard, okay? Want to challenge you guys. Iron Men of God do not feast while his family goes hungry. He stands watch over his family. He checks the locks on the doors every night. He purposely goes in and prays with his kids before bed. He makes ready the horses for battle. Iron Men of God do not command his family's loyalty through fear, nor purchase it with money, new iPhones, iWatches, latest Nike shoes. A few years back, fire was going to burn down the ranch. Gave about 100% chance of all of Estes burning down. We had to evacuate fast. We had to get out of there. I told my kids, here's a basket. We got 5 minutes. Pack up what you need. Do you know there was not one toy, one game, one favorite thing? It was any gift their grandparents had given them. Any gift their mom and dad had given them. Not a gift of things, but it was a rock hammer from my dad, who was a geologist. It was rocks from my dad. It was a photo of their grandparents. It was their Bible. You talk about a dad in the midst of chaos who was proud at that moment. I was proud of my kiddos. I wanted to encourage, invest that time. Now, Iron Men of God, lost my way there. Another thing, remember, men, you are not to be quick to anger. Never discipline out of anger. It's a great, great lesson that was taught to me early before I had kids. An Iron Man of God carries the heavy stuff. They step forward and they lift first and set down last. An Iron Man of God does not require services of those he leads, but provides it to them. He serves them, not they him. Do not pay to send your child on a mission trip. Book your flight. You go with them. If you want your kids to learn how to serve, there is no way to do that other than by serving with them and letting them see you serve. Carve that time out. It's getting easier. It's easy for me to send my kids on one. And my schedule's busy too. But I'm going, I've got to flip this around. I've got to go serve with them. A biblical man controls his emotions and passions. A biblical man controls his emotions and passions. I like this quote that's coming up here. As you are taming your emotions, remember, emotions make great advisors, but horrible CEOs. There's some truth in that one. Don't let those emotions make that final decision for you. Protecting women and children. I want to encourage you to get out of the truck. I serve with a great cowboy. wears a flat hat from the, being a buckaroo from the northwest region of this country. Cowboy Nick has one of the best handlebar mustaches. He's the real deal. And he's awesome. Honest, integrity, everything that you would want to see in a cowboy. I remember Nick was driving up to work one day with his family, got to Lily Lake, half a mile from the ranch, and there's a lady running down the middle of the road, panting, sprinting as fast as she can, and right behind him is a guy raging with anger, chasing her. Nick pulls his Suburban over, hands his wife the keys, the phone, and looks at her and says, "You good if I go help her?" She said, "Get out of the truck." "Guys, we got to get out of the truck." Nick went over there. There's probably 250 people in the national park right there at Lily Lake. And he goes over and he stands in between that man and that woman. Someone who was desperate, who needed help at that moment. Nick was willing for a guy that was much bigger than him, stronger than him. He stood right there and he said, "Sir," he talked him down. And he said, "But you will not touch this lady. And I'm willing to take all the blows if you try." Guys, we got to step forward. Do you know that there were probably 50 men standing right there? None of them stepped up with Nick. And that was the biggest shock to him. Something's changed. 20 years ago, I don't think that happened. 10 years ago, I don't think that happened. But something happened. The phones were out, but nobody stepped forward. And Nick turned around and he's like, "You guys got to step up in these situations." So I love that story. I talked to Nick last night as we were reflecting back on this. I love that we get to raise up these staff that come out and pour into these 18 to 24-year-olds and call them up and to take stories like that and apply it. Because Nick drove right into the ranch. He's like, "I want to see every guy in this room out here. We're not going to be like that." So let's remember, get out of the truck. Another thing I want to drive home here is controlling your passions. Did a really good job backing up scriptures. Kason, what's the most dangerous weapon in the world? This phone. We give it to 10-year-olds. Kason, you got a phone yet? That's right. Guys, it's okay to be slow on that phone. Talk to your kids. Talk to them a lot about it. It's dangerous. Things can access there that they're not ready to see. People are out there waiting to access them. I encourage you guys, have that conversation with your sons. Have that conversations with your son-in-laws. And, gentlemen, I want to challenge you, too, if you got daughters. I've a good thing about being in family ministry. I get to interview a lot of families. I get to see things that are happening in other people's families before my family hits it. My daughter, I hope I showed her this, and she said, "Thanks, Dad, for having those conversations." I make the fellas who want to ask her out come over a day before. I sit down, and if it's not 24 hours before, you're not going out with Lena. So I make them come over, and we have a little chit-chat. And I tell them how much I love my daughter. And I tell them how I expect them to be a godly man and to treat her. And how God's given me Lena. And to protect her and to keep her and to raise her. And I say, and last, one of the last points I make is, I said, just so we understand each other, if a swimsuit touches it, you don't. And usually drives the point home. And I don't give them the 21.5 seconds to get from once they park to open her car door to get into the house, but it's available if needed. But the point is, I want that young man, not to scare him. I just want him to know I love my daughter. I want him to, and I want him to take care of her. And I've seen a daughter tear up at the table at the ranch as she said, "My daughter ran off a lot of boys who wanted to ask me out because he followed this." And said, "But man, am I sure grateful he did. And am I sure grateful that my husband sure is grateful that he did." So, guys, we got to do tough things. Have tough conversations. So I encourage us to do that. A biblical man provides. provides for his family. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his family, especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Whew. Those are strong words, flat scary. When a man doesn't work and provide for his family, he feels a sense of shame. His self-worth sinks. A man who doesn't work, who can't keep a job, who moves from job to job, and who refuses to assume responsibility creates insecurities in his wife and kids. Also, what is sometimes forgotten about this verse is every man needs to provide for his family. It's just not a roof. It's just not paying the bills. We also need to take responsibility to provide for emotional and spiritual needs. A father should train his children and prepare them to become responsible adults who know how to navigate or negotiate the swift and sometimes evil currents of this culture. My dad went through some seasons where he didn't have work. But I remember the first time he was transitioned or lost his job in the oil field, came home, got out a recipe book, figured out how to bake some cookies. Weren't the best cookies, but when we got off the bus, we had cookies. And then my dad started throwing the baseball with us. My dad made the most of that until he could land the next job. He didn't miss the opportunity he had to have more time with his kids. He didn't get down on himself. He responded, and he made the most of it while he looked for that next job. I'll give you one more point of that. Dads, grandpas, men, we got to sometimes have that hard moment with friends or with family. I remember when my dad, I was executive director, got busy at the ranch. Our season's crazy. It's long. We used to be way understaffed, and we did a lot of stuff. And I think for me, my dad pulled me aside and goes, "Son," said, "how you doing with this new director position, and how are you doing with balancing that with your wife and kiddos?" I said, "Oh, Dad," said, "I'm working hard just like you taught me, putting in the work, Dad, but I don't get a lot of quantity time, but man, what I get is quality." He goes, "Bull crap." He goes, "That's what busy people say to make themselves feel better." Ouch. Daddies preach it, and sons listen, right? Kaysen can tell you, I had to flip a switch. I'm a servaholic, and my dad knew it, and he called me out. He's like, "You got to have more quantity to create quality." So guys, find that time for quantity, and it'll create the quality we're looking for. A biblical man protects his family. To borrow an illustration from John Piper and Wayne Grudem on the essence of masculinity, when you're lying in bed, try this one. When you're lying in bed with your wife and you hear the sound of a window being opened in the kitchen at 3 a.m., do you shake her awake and say, "The last time this occurred, I was the one who took our baseball bat and investigated to see if someone was breaking into our house. Now it's your turn, sweetheart." That's their quote. Here's the bat. I don't think that would go well. I know my dad would still give me a whooping. Just like I said before, we got to get out of the truck. We got to get out of bed. We need to be that protection. If you're not teaching your son and other, if you're not teaching in your family, someone's going to be teaching them. We all need to work on this, especially for this next generation. We got to put in the time. We have to have those hard conversations. To the grandpas in the room, don't retire, refire. Go find a way. Go make your next trip, not to somewhere fun. Go make it to your grandkids. Go come alongside your son. Make those memories. Got to go on gator hunting with my son and my daughter. It was awesome. Ken Weiss did a great thing. We had a great time, didn't we, Kaysen? Wrestled some of those gators. Felt good to be an LSU fan to take out a gator. And that's the last time I get to talk here. But if you hold this mic close, it goes better. So I hope you guys were able to hear me this morning. All right, I'm going to close with a story here. In 2003, you guys know this one probably, but it drives it home for us. Hurricane Isabel slammed into the East Coast, leaving 16 dead and 6 million people without power. The edges of the hurricane passed over Washington, D.C., prompting the president and members of Congress to find safer quarters. That was not the case at Arlington National Cemetery, where guards stood watch over the tomb of the unknowns, just as they had done every hour of every day since July 1st, 1937. When the hurricane hit, the soldiers remained at their post, even though they were given permission to seek shelter. That's what a soldier does. He acknowledges the storm, but he doesn't give in to it. He stands firm. As a friend told me, if these men can't stand guard over the dead, how much more important, if these men can stand guard over the dead, how much more important is it that I stand guard over the living? My wife, my kids, grandkids. Like these soldiers, we are called to stand and do our duty while staring down the very storms that seek to rob us of our courage, taunting and tempting us to neglect our duty and abandon our post. Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good? What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" The core of man's life should be his relationship with God. The man who walks humbly with God is motivated and empowered to step up and assume the difficult responsibilities that come his way. You see, a warrior living out biblical manhood is never off duty. He is living out these traits. He's reflecting God in his daily actions. 1 Kings 2, 1 through 2, David's final words to Solomon. "I'm about to go the way of all the earth," he said. "So be strong, act like a man, act like a man." These are some of the things I want to get focused on, is these little things so we can get these big things right. But let's act like a biblical man of God. I think that's Wayne Grudem's heart. And diving into all that scripture, giving us the base, it's my heart today to throw it out there to us. Let's put our arms around each other, arms around our kids, around our family, and let's impact lives for Christ and be that reflection of Christ. So thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. I appreciate it. Come see us out at Wind River Ranch, especially in the summertime, 78 degrees. So keep us prayed up, and may we all impact lives today. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.